remembered to change their clock. You know, we voted and sent a message to Sacramento that we didn't want this time business anymore. And they totally ignored us. I mean, at the will of the people, it's very sad because we did send a message to them. We don't like daylight saving time. Anyway, dear Lord, we just pray right now that you'll help us to have a better appreciation of God's word. We say this in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. The message is to dealing with the theme time. And in the very first verse, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning of what? The beginning of time. Now, what was there before time? Eternity. That's where God dwells. God dwells in eternity. And what he did when he created the heavens, we believe he did it instantaneously. Now, we have something here that says in Peter, 2 Peter 3:8, but do not forget this one thing, my friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting that anyone should perish, everyone to come to repentance. This tells us that God is eternal. Now, God's universe is so beautiful that there have been attempts to make measurements. And we have a man by the name of Hubble, H-U-B-B-L-E, a telescope camera that circles the earth, clicking pictures of God's universe. You could get those beautiful pictures on your phone, your iPhone, by going to Hubble Space Pictures later. But this man, Hubble, came up with an astounding statement. He said the universe is expanding. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So they came up with this idea that if it's expanding, it must have came when it wasn't expanding. And they call that the Big Bang. But we believe that God did it instantaneously. They put a date on the universe. And this is an approximate 14 billion years old is the universe, according to their findings. Now, whether that's right or wrong, we don't know. But we know that God instantaneously created the heavens. And along with that, we have the earth. And we find that the earth is measurable. And they've come up with this idea that our earth is 5 billion years old. That's a tremendous amount of time. And when we find that the 6 days of creation, this also involves a great deal of time. Now we're looking at it from our perspective, and we find that the earth has gone through an orderly stage. You know, you compare what the Bible says about creation and all other major philosophies, the ancient ones don't even come close to the beauty and clarity that you find with the creation of the earth. There was a time, we can't put a date on this, but that the earth was very fertile and filled with a lot of things that don't exist anymore. But one thing, the 20th century, oil came when the earth was very plenteous and the vegetation and whatnot was buried in an upheaval and turned into oil. And we couldn't have the 20th century without this product that was created somewhere during the earth's creation. Now we find that in Genesis, see, we're getting an overview. You can't go too deep with this because we'll be here forever. But it says that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. God blessed them, told them to be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, and subdue it. And we have the first population of the world. And it came through the start of Abraham. No, it started with the creation of Adam. I got Abraham in my mind for later. And we find that in Genesis 5:1, it says that when God made mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He blessed them. He named them mankind, and they were created. But we find that something went wrong in this creation, because in Genesis 6:1, it says, humans began to increase their number on the earth, and something went wrong. We find that mankind is in need of salvation. And what we find something very beautiful in 6, verse 5. It says, the Lord saw how great wickedness was on the human race, had become on the earth, that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts were evil all the time. So we find in 6, 8, something very beautiful. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now that word favor is where we get the word grace. Here we have God favor on Noah. And it says, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of the time. He walked faithfully with God. And Noah had three sons. Now, we know that the flood came. And everybody's familiar with that. But I want to tell you that this time, when from Adam to Noah, is a tremendous amount of time. We don't know how long it took to populate the world, but it nevertheless, it happened. But God was displeased, and we know about the flood. And then we find that after the flood, Noah's three sons were used in Genesis 10 to repopulate the world. And this took tremendous amount of time to repopulate the world. Why am I pointing this out to you? Sometimes we read these verses and we don't stop and think, wow, repopulating the world, how long did that take? It took a long time. We can't put a date on this. And we find that God was displeased with what went on when the three sons had finished their creation and the world was filled. It says, now the whole world had one language, and God wanted to stop their foolishness. And we know that according to the scriptures, God confused their tongue. And that's why we have the world filled with all kinds of different languages. Now, we see that both times, when they repopulated the world the first time, there was failure. And they repopulated the world the second time, and there was failure. So what we find here that mankind is in need of redemption. And this is where God brings in Abraham. Abraham promise starts in 12. One, God said to Abram, before he changed his name to Abraham, go from your country and your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. Now, he came from a place called Ur. And people used to say, this is not possible because we can't find any record of this place called Ur. But in 1875, they rediscovered Ur. So that gives us a date of 3,000 years ago, approximately, that God called Abram, I will make unto you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you will I curse. All the people of the earth will be blessed through you. So we have God's plan of redemption to save mankind. And we hide that. That's what happened. So we turn to Matthew Matthew 1. Matthew 1 has the genealogy of the Old Testament. As you see there, verse 1, to 16, we have all these names found in the Old Testament. And verse 17 summarizes, there are 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, and 14 from David to the exile in Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. Now, I want you to look at this word Messiah, because this word Messiah is the word in Hebrew, Messiah. But in the Greek, it's Christ. When we say Jesus Christ, this is not his last name. It is Jesus, the anointed Savior. And this word Messiah means anointed, the anointed one. Now, we want to take you to Galatians 4:4, because we're coming to some kind of conclusion here, but it's going to make sense when we look at Galatians 4:4. But when the set time, note that says, but when the set time had fully come, what was so different about this time, this set time, that was different from any other time? Number one, there was peace in the then known world that the Romans controlled. There was safety. Roads were built. Language was unified, not with Latin, but with Greek. People began to communicate with each other in the Greek language. Of course, we know that the Jews had their Hebrew, but they also were involved with the Greek language because they wanted to integrate materially from other people. So we find that in this verse 4:4, that the set time had fully come, God sent his Son. And we have here, born of a woman. And we understand what that means. And he was born under the law. Jesus was a Jew, born to Mary, who was a Jewish woman. He came to redeem those under the law of sin and death, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are sons, and we could say daughters, God sent the Spirit, a capital S, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of His Son, into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slaves to sin and death, but you're God's child. Since you have His child, God had made you also your heir. So we find that God used Paul to go into the then known world, and his first job was to try to convince the Jews that the Messiah had already come, because the Jews felt that they were looking for a Messiah to deliver them from the Romans. But there was something far worse than the Romans. After a while, some people were won to Christianity, Christian Jews. But in the most part, Paul said, it's more fruitful for me to go to the Greeks and preach the gospel. And that's why we are heirs of what happened then. Because not only was people speaking in Greek, but they were starting to write records in Greek. And that's why we have the Word of God with us, because it was translated into Greek. And that's why we were able to appreciate the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Now, look, time is going to end. Time is going to end. In Revelation 22, verse 12. This is the words of Jesus. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So when Jesus comes, time will cease. We'll all go into eternity to be with God forever. Let us pray right now. Dear Lord, we've covered a lot of territory here, but we wanted to impress the people with the fact that man has failed two times of repopulation. Man was in need of salvation. And today, it's no different. The world is still in need of salvation. And we're so glad that Jesus came to free us from the law of sin and death, save us. We thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' sweet name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Al. Before we go to the table of the Lord, just a few thoughts just to recap our understanding of time as we heard it. We've seen kind of a panoramic view from the beginning to the end of time. And I hope what you understand, what Al said from the very beginning, is that God dwells in eternity. Do you hear that? So he's outside of time. He's outside of space. He's always dwelt in eternity. And then he created time. And then in time is these periods of time, these seasons of time, this season of population, right? We heard population time. But in that population time, we saw that the people who populated the world failed and rebelled against God. And so there's another season of time, and that time is salvation time. Salvation time. When we looked at Galatians 4, we saw that this is what God had done in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, God sent his son Jesus to be born under the law, born to a woman. So in the fullness of time. So this is this season. This season that we're currently in is the season of salvation. This is the time that we're in. This goes against, this contrasts the way we understand time a lot. Because when we think about time, we usually think about time, you know, in the worldly sense, we think of it as this thing that just kind of goes on chronologically, just kind of tick-tock all throughout time. It just keeps going forward, keeps going forward. And so when we think of time as just time, then there's no meaning to it. There's no purpose to it. But another definition of time that we see in the Scripture is this meaning of time that has purpose. In the Greek, that word is chronos. Chronos means the fulfillment of time. There's a purpose for this time. And so instead of us looking at time as just something that we spend, by the way, think about the way we talk about time. We talk about time the way we talk about money, right? We spend time, we waste time, we save time. We even say that time is money. And what does that mean? We're just saying, hey, time just goes on and we just spend it. So just spend it as much as you can. Just take that time and use it. But God does something different with time, and that is he says, no, there's a fulfillment of time. There's a purpose in time. There's a season in time. Remember Ecclesiastes 3? Ecclesiastes says there's an appointed time for everything. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest. So these are all purpose time. Purpose time. The challenge for us is, let's not just think of time as something to spend on ourselves. Something that we just kind of take time and then just use it for our own pleasure, use it for temporary gratification, use it just to get more stuff. That's how the world thinks of time. Right? 1 Corinthians 15, that's where Paul said, you know, the rest of the world, if they don't believe in a resurrection, then all they say is, let's eat, let's drink, let's be merry. Because that's all there is. It's just time. But we believe in a resurrection. And a resurrection means that there will be an end to time. And when there's an end to time, we will dwell with God forever. Right? So the question for us is not, how are you spending your time? It's like, what's the purpose of your time? In which ways do you maximize God's priorities with your time? God's priorities in this season of time is to save people. It's the season of salvation, right? This is God's time. The time is the time of salvation. That's why Jesus was sent into the world, to seek and to save that which is lost. So, if you're going to think about how you spend your time, are you spending your time on the things that God spends his time on? Is God's priorities with his time your priorities with your time? So what's the one thing that we can take with us at the end of time when our life is over? What's the one thing we can take? It's not our stuff. It's not our money, right? I love that bumper sticker that says, "You, no one drives a hearse with a U-Haul," right? You can't take it with you. Can't take it with you. But what can you take with you into eternity? People. And this is the one thing that concerns God the most right now. He looks at us and he sees a world that's full of lost, broken people. And then he calls us to follow Jesus. And in Jesus, we become the children of God. And as the children of God, then we look at the world the way God looks at it. And we see a world full of lost and broken people. And all of a sudden, what becomes important to God is important to us. And so the way we want to spend our time, we have to ask ourselves, how much are we prioritizing people? How much are we prioritizing relationships? How much are we prioritizing sharing the word of the gospel with people who need salvation? This is the season of salvation. So as you think about your time and the ways you spend your time, do you spend your time the ways God spends his time? He spends his time on people. He looks at the fullness of time and he sends Jesus to save us. That's how God spends his time. So think about how you're spending yours. What priority are you giving to relationships in your life? In what ways are you letting the culture of busyness and hurry and work and all those things take over the priorities that God has for us, which is people? Will you look at your workplace as not just people who you work with, but people who need the Lord? Will you, even your workplace, Linda, just thinking about your conflicts at work, and sometimes you think about work, coworkers, and you think, either, boy, you know, they're in my way. I'm trying to get that promotion, or they're in my way. I can't do my job because of the way they are. Well, we're looking at people the wrong way, aren't we, if we look at them that way? The way we look at people are, hey, God has placed some coworkers around me. That's no accident. He put them there, and he put me there. God put this family around me. I didn't choose to be born into the family I was, but I was because God put me in it. So that means that they're important to God, and that means that you have a place to bless them, like Abraham, to be a blessing to the people around you. Right? So I wonder today, when you think about your time, you think about what's important to you, where in your priorities are people? The very people who are in your life. We're not talking about people around the world who you haven't met yet. We're talking about the very people who are in your life, in your family. And how are you loving them with the love of Christ so that they can know Jesus through your words, through your deeds? How are you loving them? What are you doing with your time? Because we don't have the rest of, we don't know how many years we have. For Al and I, we've lived more years than we will live from now on. And that's probably true for many others of you. The longest parts of our lives are already behind us. So what are we going to do with what's left in front of us? Scriptures tell us again and again, be mindful. The day is near. You don't have all of eternity. You don't have all this time. The day is near. So count your days. How do you want to spend them? How do you want to spend those days? The end of your life, what do you want them to say about you after you spent those days? I hope it's this, that he spent his days telling us about the love of God. He spent his days investing in his family and his kids so that they would know the love of God. I hope that's what they say about all of us, right? That's what's important to God right now. So I want to pray. Let's pray. Lord, the day is very close at hand. And all of us in Christ, when it's all over, when you, Jesus, come back and you return, and time is no more, Lord, we will be with you forever. And there's really nothing else that we will have wanted other than to know that we brought a lot of people with us to be with you. So speak to us right now about people you've placed in our lives and how to make time for them, for relationships, for friendships, to share about Christ, to share this gospel you've given to us. Put on our hearts what's on your heart, God, about them. And we welcome your Holy Spirit to speak to us. Give us wisdom about what it means to put people first, God, because you did when you sent Jesus into the world. In these moments of time, you can continue in prayer and ask the Lord to keep speaking to you about how you use your time. So let's pray together, and as we do that, we'll prepare to serve communion in just a minute.